So welcome everyone to Finding Your Unhappy, Unusual Conversations on Mental Health and Happiness. I am Alana Davidson. I'm the author of Finding Your Unhappy and the creator of Divine Essence Coaching. And every week I have conversations with other people or with myself about unusual conversations about mental health and happiness. And today I have a special guest for you, the author of This Is Me, Bipolar Free. And Kate LaBrosse, is that how you say your last name?
It is, yep.
So welcome to the show, and I introduce yourself a little bit more. Talk a little bit about your unusual experience with mental health and happiness.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So my history obviously involves mental illness. I was diagnosed with bipolar in my early 20s. And that was after having previously been diagnosed with depression, and having panic attacks. And I was on many different medications over the course of almost a decade. And about 5 years of that was with the diagnosis of bipolar and non-bipolar medications, and in conjunction with sleep meds and panic attack meds and all of that. And it was after my last suicide attempt. So obviously the meds weren't really doing the job that they were supposed to be doing. Last suicide attempt that I finally hit a point where I said enough is enough. If I'm going to stay here and live this life in this body, then I'm going to figure out a different way. I just couldn't believe that this was how I or anyone, you know, was meant to live their life. I couldn't believe that that was the way that things were supposed to be. And so that really started me on a journey to look for ways to truly heal my bipolar disorder. That led me to the natural foods industry, which is the industry I've worked in for the last decade, which has continued to really shape how I think about health and mental wellness. And then that brought me to last year writing and publishing my book, This Is Me, Bipolar Free, Heal Your Mental Illness and Create Your Authentic Life. It's on Amazon right now, and it's coming out in paperback and in bookstores in November.
Fantastic. Such an interesting journey, especially this idea that one can heal themselves from something like bipolar. One can heal themselves from a mental disorder, because so much in the sort of mainstream view of things is it's just even, and I find this even with depression, which is a little odd because it's not considered one of the sort of more extreme mental illnesses, is that so much of the approach is all about how do you manage it? How do you manage your symptoms? Looking at what's the underlying cause and how to address the underlying root cause so that you're symptom free, so that you're not sort of have this label for life, so to speak. So can you talk a little bit about your journey with sort of, well, first of all, you talked a little bit about, okay, I've decided that I was going to heal this, that it was possible to heal it. And then what some of the things that you started to discover as the underlying causes that helped change that for you?
Yeah. So actually you bring up a really good distinction, because, you know, I say that I started off healing, like looking to heal it. I actually didn't. What I started off doing is finding a way just to manage it in a much more effective way. That's really all I wanted to not feel like I was crazy all the time. To not want to kill myself. You know, I wanted to actually want to live this life. So that's where it started. It didn't necessarily start off with healing. That's where it ended up. And that's the journey that I've been on now, but that's not where it started. It was really just a last ditch attempt to save my life. That's what it
was.
And so, but it has evolved now into, you know, this ability to truly and fully heal. And for me, that process started through nutrition and supplementation. And it started off with just a lot of research that I was doing. So I knew nothing about holistic nutrition, about natural foods, about organic foods, about herbals and vitamins. I knew nothing of that world. So I started doing a ton of research, and I will never forget the day that I walked into my psychiatrist's office with this whole stack of papers, you know, on fish oils and healthy fats and how they feed the brain and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I said, you know, like, what do you think of this? Should we maybe try some of this? And he slid those papers back across the desk towards me and said, I don't know anything about that. I can't help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Meds again, we can.
Right. There's, I think I've heard that like when you're in medical school, you have about one class on nutrition and that's about it. And so that's such an interesting point that healing the body is going to help heal some of those mental stuff. And I know there was a time when I was, so part of my story is that I struggled with depression most of my life and
right.
didn't understand why when I was such a self-reflective person, I did a lot of personal development kind of work. I just like, what am I missing? Cause I'm just still not, able to turn the corner. I'm still not all that happy. I'm still struggling. And so one of the things that I discovered when I finally at 30 admitted that I was depressed is that maybe some of it was physiological. Maybe some of it had to do with my body.
Yeah. And
so I went to a practitioner. For me, it was a kinesiologist. For the listeners, if you're not familiar, that's a way of working with the system of the body and testing muscles of the body to see what's going on in a holistic way. And that really did have a big impact on me. So I went to this guy and he said, okay, here's some of the things where you're imbalanced. And he gave me some things to take. I started feeling better. And then I went, oh, well, really it's all about consciousness. It's all about.
Yeah.
And so I stopped going and I literally noticed myself dip and get back into a not very good place. And then I went back to him and I started going again and I felt better again. Eventually I stopped going. I stopped actually taking anything specific. So I'm sort of a question I have for you, because this is my theory about it. And I wonder how this lands in your experience, is that I had some things that were out of balance throughout my life. And then I did a whole bunch of work to sort of rebalance them. But then I didn't like, I didn't continue a lifelong maintenance program really. And I've always had a fairly healthy diet, et cetera. But my theory is sort of that I needed to have that initial rebalancing. And once I did that, I got sort of to a better new place where I didn't need all that extra input. And there are moments when I go back to feeling a certain, there's like so many different varieties of depression, right? There's a deep depression where I go like, okay, this is probably health and nutrition based, not something else. And let me address that again. So I'm curious what your take is on that sort of like resetting your system and then moving forward kind of.
Yeah. So, I mean, you brought up so many good points in that. And the first thing that I want to say is that we are, I think, for those of us who are spiritually inclined, there is sort of this like, you know, sort of new age belief that I think has done us a disservice that we can fix all of this just through elevating our consciousness or changing our vibration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
And that is a component of it, for sure. That's a component of it, but
right.
all of it, because we are living in these physical bodies. So this is also a piece of it.
Absolutely. Right?
So they go hand in hand. It's not one or the other. And again, I think that, some sort of, spiritual circles, again, have sort of done us a disservice. And that's where I started too. I remember that there was a day where all I wanted to do was sort of expand out of my body. Like I wanted to be enlightened and be out of this body, right? But it doesn't work that way. We are here. And in order to like fully be here and to fully heal and to fully be present in our lives, we actually have to be in the body. And
right,
so,
that integrated spiritual experience, that integrated life experience. And well, it's interesting that you bring up like leaving the body, because that ties into something else that I think maybe you've talked about a little in your book and has been really true for me, is the experience of trauma and being traumatized and how much when you're traumatized, you want to leave your body, your energy checks out. And I see that a lot with my clients is that like they'll literally check out, they'll vacate their body and just go somewhere else. And we have to bring them back and sort of make this choice to say, okay, I'm going to live in my body. And coming back to nutrition, if you're choosing to be on planet Earth, if you're making that choice to stay, then you have to figure out how to live in your body and how your body work for you. And taking good care of it, exercise, diet, all of that kind of stuff is part of having your body be a comfortable place to live.
For sure, yeah. And so to go back to your original question about, you know, is this like, you know, being on like a strict diet and supplements like for life, is that necessary? No, I don't think it is. I think you're mm-hmm. on the track that things evolve over time. We evolve over time, and what we needed 5 years ago, we might not need, you know, 5 minutes from now. Things mm-hmm. really constantly evolve. And so it does take you becoming really in tune with your body, with your emotions, with your thoughts, with your energy, with what's going on in your life to be able to pick up on what is really going to serve you best. But I do think, having said that, for most people starting off on this healing journey, that nutrition is such, it's an easy lever to pull, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't take some of like the deep internal work that healing trauma can do, right? It doesn't take some of that energetic work. It's an easy lever to pull. So for me, I always start all of my clients out on a 30-day detox, so to speak, really an elimination diet, cutting out all food triggers, all like known food allergens. So we cut out dairy, wheat, gluten, sugar. I actually cut out not all animal products, but a lot of animal products for the mm-hmm. 30 days. Mm-hmm. Definitely no alcohol, and really then reset with whole, healthy, organic, natural foods, right? We'd be able to find, you know, on our own if we were like out foraging in the woods. Like that's sort of, if you think about eating that way, like that's what we want to do. We want to reduce some of those other things.
Right.
Honestly, mm-hmm. not that I think that wheat is bad. I do think that the way that wheat is produced today has a lot to do with how it affects our system and what that means for mental health. But in general, like, you know, organic wheat, sprouted grains, like those, I think actually have healing properties. We just don't want to be eating them like with every meal.
Right. And the point of addressing the body, it's like, if you don't feel good in your body, then dealing with some of the other stuff can be really much more challenging. And like in my journey, right? So I was trying to deal with my traumas, my other levels of life that I think are, yes, essential and important to deal with in the healing journey. And that's a lot of the level that I talk about is more on the emotional trauma history kind of experience. But if you don't have your body at a baseline good place, and there are sort of, we were talking a little bit before about chemical imbalances. And right. So for me, it's like, I don't really buy into so much. And many people are now rejecting this idea of that mental health is just a chemical imbalance in your brain. However, I do believe that there are imbalances, right? Your system is imbalanced. There are places where I felt just like really, like no matter, I just felt this weight, this heaviness, whatever, even thinking about the things that would ordinarily make me feel better just didn't. And it's like there was some, quote, chemical imbalance or nutritional imbalance. There was something going on with me physiologically.
Yeah. That
to address it made a big difference.
For sure. Yep.
A lot about what we're talking about is that you can change, yes, your physiology is maybe imbalanced or there are things going on in your physiology, but it's not that it's just something broken or dysfunction.
Right.
I feel like a lot of mental illness is talking about like dysfunction and broken or I don't like even the term disorder sometimes because I think
right.
misnomer, because actually we just don't understand what is really going on. Our system is actually functioning really well in a certain way. It's responding to the information that we give it. It's trying to cope the best it can with whatever's happening. And if we can learn how to decode that, so to speak, and work with it, then we can find these new pathways. And in your case, to a healing, to understanding what's, in my case, what's behind depression and what's really contributing to it. Depression shows up for a reason. It's not just some abnormality that you're dysfunctional. There's something there. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that and your perspectives on that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you talked about trauma a little bit. There's so much research now, and this is why we are like, it's all tied together, Like, so all these pieces of us, they are not separate from each other, and one thing affects the other. And there's research now that documents that a childhood history of trauma, what that does to your physiological makeup, what mm-hmm. that does to the wiring of your brain, what that does to your gut bacteria, the flora in your body that actually regulates like everything, every system in your body is regulated through your good bacteria. But how, when you go through a traumatic experience as a child, how that really actually wipes out your good gut bacteria. And then you have to deal with that for the rest of your life, right? And get that in back into balance. So those things are all interrelated, all of them.
Right, so the emotional and psychological affects the physical, that then in turn affects the emotional and psychological. So if you're addressing one, it's important to address the other. And some people start with the nutritional piece and then never deal with sort of the emotional content.
Right.
Some people are constantly trying to work with the emotional content and the psychological stuff, but they never get to the point of addressing the physical stuff. And they're all interrelated and all affecting each other.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, this is, and it's starting to change, but we live in a society that wants the quick, easy fix, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. just tell me what's wrong, tell me what I have to take to fix it, and let me move on with my life. And the work around healing trauma, around healing mental illness, like, it's not a quick, easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And so it takes you really kind of digging into all these different aspects of yourself. And, you know, what I will say is that it gets easier. It's not always as hard as how it might feel today, right? It gets easier, and it starts to incorporate it. It's you start to incorporate into how you really live your life. And then when you shift to that way, then all this other stuff opens up for you that you wouldn't have even seen before as possibilities right. for you.
So what do you tell somebody who's sort of maybe at a tough place or getting to that, God, I have to change this. I can't go on like this. Something needs to, and I've certainly been at that point myself. It's like something needs to change. What can you say to someone who's at that place to give them some hope or give them some encouragement to walk the path? Because yeah, it is work. It is an engagement that's different than swallowing a pill and hoping that you feel better. It's something different.
It is. I mean, the first thing, and this is why I wrote my story and why I am out there speaking and talking about it, is because at a very minimum, I want people to see an example of what is possible. And it really mm-hmm. is. And I did not, like I said, I did not come from a world that had, I didn't have all this education or this background to fall back on. I had to walk through this myself. So I know it really intimately. And I know what's possible. I know where I was. Like I said, I was, you know, diagnosed a decade, medications for a decade, 3 different suicide attempts, hospitalization. So I know what that feels like, mm-hmm. Matt, today. So just number one, I want people to know that it truly is possible. And for me, the best way to start is to just start shifting your belief patterns and just start telling yourself that I don't know the way out of this today, but I know there is a way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I might not know what it is. I might not have all of it figured out, and I might not even see fully where I'm going or what this is going to be or what my life could be, but I know it can be different than what it is today. And when you start thinking like that and opening up to the possibility versus having, you know, a doctor or society or our medical institutions tell us that there's no way out of this, this is something you will have to manage for the rest of your life. When you move out of that space and just start opening up that possibility in your brain and in your heart and in your body, things will start organizing around you to meet that belief system.
Absolutely. It's a question that I work with a lot is what else is possible, right? So every time you function from a place of conclusion, you have just limited your life. You've limited the possibility in your life. This is the way things are. This is the diagnosis that I have. And so then basically you live your life from those parameters. If you say, what else is possible that I haven't considered or imagined?
Yeah.
What if it is possible to completely transform this? What if it is possible to have a totally different reality? Then you are open, exactly like you're saying, you're open to something else showing up that you haven't considered or imagined. And this is also, like, a lot of people, I think, just struggle with depression because the circumstances and the conditions of their lives feel so difficult and feel so hard, and it feels like there's no way out. And I talk a little bit about that in my book. So when you talk about contributing factors to depression, to mental health, some of them are personal, right? Some of them are internal, their diet, their trauma, their things like that. Some of them are external, cultural, environment, all that kind of stuff. And it can be easy to despair. But if you can start to get curious about how things could possibly change, even when you see no way out and it seems impossible, because if you put your mentality toward there is no way out, and then think about, so one of the things that I notice that people do is they try to solve something with their logical brain, right? And they try, and then they're going over all of the options that they can already perceive and why none of them are going to work. And, well, I already tried that. But sort of what you're suggesting is this openness to, I don't know, but I'm open to knowing something else. Like, it seems like so with the circumstantial stuff, it seems like I'm in an impossible situation with no way out.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be shown something that I have never seen before that could be totally different.
Exactly. And that to me is why, for a lot of people, especially when they are sort of in those darkest moments at the depths of that despair, to me, that nutrition and supplementation, that's the easy lever to pull, right? Mm-hmm. Creates a crack, that creates an opening, and that can give you better effects than some of these medications can, just to give you a little bit of light, to make that little bit of space in your body and in your mind to kind of take that next step, right?
To feel like if you feel horrible, it can feel hard to do anything. But if there's just one thing, and what I hear saying is like the one thing to start with, or that one can start with, it's pretty easy, is just shifting your diet, shifting your nutrition. So are there one or two things that you think are like sort of the best starting places on that?
For sure. Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So, I mean, just from a strictly food standpoint, I think if you follow like the Whole 30 diet or a paleo diet, a keto diet, those are going to be really great places to start. Find the one that really resonates for you. And just incorporate lots of, you know, organic whole foods, no processed foods. Make sure, like, sugar is a like huge trigger. So cut out all sugar for sure. Dairy and gluten. You cut out dairy, sugar, and gluten, those three things. You start eating a whole foods diet. That in and of itself is going to shift things. And then some supplements that can really help as well. So for me, when I started on a supplement called Empower Plus from True Hope. They're a Canadian company. And they specialize in supplementation for people with bipolar disorder. They've expanded now into other mental health stuff and ADD stuff, depression, but they started with bipolar. And so I was on a program with them for a little over a year where I worked to kind of increase my supplementation from them and decrease my medication. And it took about 8 months to wean myself off of medications, but I did. And I still have the email from them that says, congratulations, you're medication free, and that I've never gone back. And I don't use those supplements anymore. So to your point earlier, right, like things shift. I don't need those anymore. Like I've hit it too much and have shifted my body so much that I don't need those supplements anymore. But something like that is a great place to start. And then go ahead.
You're just talking about getting off of medication, which is a topic that I have clients in various different realms of healing. And yes, some of them are on medication, and it's not something that I'm super comfortable touching. And if someone wants to get off their medication, I say, please, please, please take that up with your doctor and with your practitioner. So I'm wondering what you have to say sort of about, for someone maybe who is bipolar or has been on medication and they're looking toward shifting that, looking toward changing that. Because I know like quitting cold turkey can have some
serious
side effects. So I just want to, because you did it and you had that journey and you were successful in doing it, I'm wondering sort of what like sort of cautions or encouragements you can offer people that maybe want to explore that journey for themselves?
Yeah, for sure. So again, I mean, the first thing that I would say is it's possible. And if you really start doing some research on this company, True Hope, you'll see that it's been possible for hundreds, if not thousands, of other people, right? I'm not the only one who has done this. There are others. So just to know that it's possible. Second, to your point, is do not do this on your own. Do not embark on this on your own. And if you are not currently working with a psychiatrist or a doctor that will walk you through this process of medication withdrawal, you need to find one who will. So a functional medicine doctor, some other holistic practitioner that can really walk you through that process. Mm-hmm. And know that it is a process. You don't just stop your meds ever. That will never be a good thing for you. It needs to be a process. Again, mine was about 8 months long of increasing my meds, increasing these supplements, changing other things in my life. And that's what set me up for success and to never have to go back on medication. So definitely find a practitioner that you really resonate with. And again, if it's not your current practitioner, don't be afraid to switch. Don't be afraid to go find a different one. And a functional medicine doctor is a really great place to start, because that it really is their foundation of, you know, the holistic systems of the body working together, nutrition, and they would be open to this. And the other great thing about True Hope is that they also want to work with your doctor. So like if your doctor wants to have conversations with them, wants to really be involved in this process, they want that too.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome. I definitely have clients from time to time who are considering that, and it's not my field of expertise. So I don't really have and I've also chosen in my own personal journey, I've chosen not to pursue the medication route, even though I have felt suicidal many times in my life, struggled with depression. I really felt like, you know what, there's got to be something else. There's got to be something beyond just treating the symptoms. And so that's always been my direction, and why I think to me, your story is so inspiring, because I've always believed that there's a way to heal. There's something beyond all of this. And underneath whatever is showing up, that if I can just get to the source, then it can change. So we talked a lot about diet and nutrition and that sort of thing. What did you find were some of going along with that idea that there's a root cause or an underlying, that it's a symptom that's pointing to something that if we can really get to the heart of it, can change it and transform it. What are some of the other pieces for you that contributed to your diagnosis or your experience of what we would be labeled bipolar disorder?
Yeah. So I have a history of trauma, definitely. Mm-hmm. Was sexually abused as a little girl, both by my stepdad and later by a step uncle. I was raped when I was 21. My biological dad is an alcoholic, and him and my mom separated when I was very little, and he was in and out of my life. And it was never a good thing when he was in my life. He made it very clear that I had no place in this world, that there was really no for me to be here. And so all of those things obviously contributed, and I think had a huge effect, and that's what really kind of triggered it, the mental illness. And so to me, there was a lot of work around trauma resolution. And, you know, there's pieces of that that are still alive today, right? Like that doesn't just go away. They have become a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. But it's shifting. And honestly, it continues to shift. This to me is, you know, it's a process that doesn't ever really end. It gets so much easier, but it doesn't ever really end. And so to me, healing the trauma and really being willing to go into that space and to look at how it was showing up in my life, how it was manifesting, the person that I had become because of the trauma, and to kind of take that power back. Who do I really want to be in this space? Who do I want to be in this life? And how is this trauma going to really impact the person that I am? And taking my choice back around that, instead of giving it to the situation, to the trauma itself, to the person who traumatized me, taking that power back.
So making yourself more powerful than the effects of your trauma, and transforming the experience and effects of trauma.
Yeah.
So that you are basically living you're the one that, it's not that trauma never affects you, it sounds like, because it continues to be part of your life, but it's the way that you get to be the one to decide how you navigate it, how you experience it. Yep. And I experience similar things. Like, I still have things that show up that are triggered from the past, but I get to figure out what's really going on for me, how I navigate it, rather than being at the effect of it or having it sort of run and control my life. It's like, okay, this issue is showing up. I, you know, for example, I feel like I want to curl up in a ball right now. Okay. I know that's showing up. Instead of that being an overwhelming experience that has control over my life, I get to be with that and I get to be the sort of navigator of it and say, okay, so what do I need? Maybe it's not such a bad thing to curl up in a ball, and maybe I just need to comfort myself right now. But then I'm sort of, instead of like having it take me down, I get to tend to it and tend to, I like to think of like, there's a little girl part of myself, right? And I do talk about this a little bit in my book as well, but when you can separate out your history, your past, the traumatized little girl from the present time competent adult who knows what's up, and then you can sort of give yourself some of the stuff that you're missing, rather than being all fused together and you just lose yourself and you're in a PTSD response and you can't function, so to speak.
Exactly. That's a great point. And the little girl piece has been a piece for me as well. And for probably the span of a couple of years, I had a picture of myself as about, 3 or 4 years old that was in my bedroom, sort of in my meditation journaling space with me. And I talked to her all the time. And there was a lot of work of like going back and asking her, like, what do you need? What do you need to say? What do you need me to know? What can I do for you? There was a lot of really being able to tap into that. And at different points in my life, like going back to the teenager who was just pissed off, like all the time, afraid of everything, right? Like going to her and what do you need? So going through that piece. And I think with trauma, it's so multifaceted, right? It affects every single like level of our being. And so there was like spiritual work that I did around it. There was emotional work that I did around it. There was physical work that I did around it, working with, craniosacral therapists and myofascial therapists and doing yoga, like working with yoga practitioners who are actually practicing trauma, doing these things to let the body really release the trauma that it's holding on to, and then working through the emotional and the spiritual patterns around it.
Well, and that brings up another interesting point as well, because we're talking about the physiological and psychological and emotional, and there is the nutritional piece, but I also found in my journey that there's sort of a body energetic piece, is that your body will hold on to patterns of trauma. Like, I had done a lot of work around my relationship with my parents, and I thought I'd pretty much gotten over it. I understood where they had come from. I'd forgiven them, all this kind of stuff. And then I was doing a transformational breathwork session, which, if you're not familiar, for the listeners, is the theory behind it is that we learn to control our emotions by how we breathe, our breathing patterns. And the transformational breath work opens up the places that you've sort of stuffed off. And so you access all of the stuff that you've kind of separated yourself out from. So in this session, I got in touch with this huge amount of anger that I had. And my anger was about not being allowed to have an emotionally appropriate response to what happened to me, which I see a lot, and maybe you're nodding a lot. So I imagine there's some resonance for you there. It's like, not only did these things happen to me, I was told that they hadn't, or they were not a big deal, or I was overreacting, all that kind of stuff. And so I was really angry at that point that I wasn't allowed to be angry. But it was so phenomenal to me to feel that coming up through my body, and it brought up all of the stuff, all of this insight. But to my point is that when I really did that work with my body, it shifted something major for me. Yep. And I had a new space and a new opening that hadn't been possible for me with all of the other work that I had done, all of even working with my subconscious, all of the other healing work. It was until my body got to release that pattern that I had another level of freedom.
Yeah, for sure. So like, there's so many things going on in my head right now. And I'm really excited that you brought this up, because that is the other huge component of the body. It has its own experience. And to me, the body really does become the subconscious mind. It holds on to all of those. Every experience that we've ever had, the body has a memory of it. And there are patterns associated with those memories, with those experiences that the body definitely holds on to. I've done breath work too, and have had, I mean, similar to you, huge transformations that have happened because of that. And when we allow the body to really, really open up to those emotions that it's holding on to and release those, transform those. And to me, a lot of times it's sort of like releasing it so they can come back home in a very different way. Because those experiences don't leave us. They're still ours, but now they get to be integrated back into our system instead of being this stuck thing that is in the body that is controlling us.
I think for many of us who have done a lot of personal development work, a lot of looking, or even just talk therapy, looking at your issues, looking at what's happened, all of the sort of content of your experience, which is great. And that it can also get to the point where it feels like, gosh, I've looked at all this content so many times, and yet there still feels like there's something stuck.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that body work, that physiological energy, or even energetic, I do a lot of work in my work of helping people release energy from their system. We don't need to know what it is. We don't need to know where it comes from, all that kind of stuff. And it can be such a relief to just sort of discharge or release this energy from your system without having to sort of probe your psyche and understand those levels. Because there's a place for it, and there's also a place where that gets exhausting, because in my experience, like, you got that information already. There's a different level of information,
which there is.
Your body just needs to release some old stuck energy.
Yep, it's so true. And Abraham, do you follow, listen to Abraham Hicks?
I mean, I'm familiar. I'm not close.
So Abraham talks about, you don't have to go back and make the bed, which is kind of what you're saying, right? Like, you don't have to like have the full, you don't have to like sift through every single little piece. Like you said, there is a place for that, but that doesn't always need to be the work. And sometimes it is just about like allowing that expression, allowing those emotions, those traumas, those trapped experiences to come out. And I think there's also something you touched on, being angry. And to me, especially for women, this is such a huge component that we are taught, like, be nice, quiet little girls, right? Like, we are not taught that it's okay for us to express those kinds of emotions. And when a woman is in her rage, I think that scares people, like, we are allowed to truly, like, express that. There is something so liberating about that. When I was going through my journey, I talk about this in my book, but my boyfriend at the time, who was a saint and helped me through all of this, he gave me a metal folding chair and a bat. And I got to go down into our basement and beat the crap out of that chair. And by the time I was done, it no longer looked like a chair. And I got to scream and yell and cry and rage and let that out. And it was such a healing experience.
And I talk about this in my book, but I really believe that there is a place where anger is an emotionally appropriate response to what happened to you. And if you don't allow yourself to go through the phase of anger, you're cutting yourself off from your strength and your power. And like, I had a client who had been sexually abused when she was a kid, and she hadn't been very validated by her family about it. And so there was this sort of timidity that lived in her about it. And this sort of feeling of like, you know, you forgive, you understand somebody. Like, if you don't do the anger and allow yourself to acknowledge that what happened to you is wrong, that it violated your being, that it was inappropriate, that, I mean, a lot of the reason that anger shows up in my experience is that when there's some invalidation of you or violation of yourself and your being. And so anger is a natural response, because it is designed to to protect yourself, to return your natural boundaries, your natural sovereignty over yourself. And if you don't allow yourself to have that moment of anger, and we were talking before about the spiritual world, I think this is a place where there's some misunderstanding and can do some harm to people's mental health, is that if you're not allowed to have your anger, then it diminishes you, it weakens your strength. And by all means, have your anger. Don't take it out in a destructive way and in a harmful way, but I really think it's the repressed anger that is a harmful anger. But when you really get in touch with your anger, say, no, never again, you may not treat me that way, whatever it is, it's you reclaiming your power. And I've seen multiple times where I've helped women, and myself included, in that breathwork example, is help women really have that emotionally appropriate response to whatever happened to them. And sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's grief, sometimes it's something else. But it's like when that energy can move, like you said, you're a different person. Everything freed up and now you can move on with your life. But if you don't get to have that, it gets stuck and it gets very convoluted.
Yeah, it is. And there's something important, I think, about being able to express that anger in the way, or at least in the energy of the person that we were when those experiences happened. You know, sitting here today, if I'm to talk, you know, go into that anger space, right? I can talk about it a lot more rationally, right? Mm-hmm. So I can be angry, but it's from this perspective. So to really kind of allow yourself to express or experience that anger from that expression of that age when it happened, when those experiences happened to you. You know, how would a teenager express their anger? How would a 3-year-old express their anger, right? Like that's kind of that anger that needs to come out. And I see this, you know, with my clients, and I think it's really prominent, you know, in our culture and in spiritual work too, is that, you know, we're supposed to be like elevated past this anger, or we like talk about it like mentally, rationally, right? So we can have our anger, but like, let's put it into a context so we can understand it. And I think the work, and that can be a piece of it, but maybe after, because the work is to just let it be, let that anger have its moment.
Well, and again, I go back to like the emotionally appropriate responses. And when you're not allowed to have an emotionally appropriate response to what happened to you, my experience is that it gets frozen in you somewhere.
Yes.
And there's all of this sort of maneuvering that happens, as well as the things that show up in your life later that are similar can't register in the same way. So if there's a form of abuse that you experienced in your life that you never got to acknowledge as being abuse, then going forward, those similar things show up. So if in childhood, if something were abusive to you, but you never got to have an emotionally appropriate response, you never got to see it for what it was, those are showing up in other places in your life, you're not going to be able to see them the same way. And so those emotionally appropriate responses sort of reset your emotional compass, so that then, you know, in the future, when someone shows up and tries to do the same thing, you physiologically, emotionally, psychologically recognize it for what it is. That I, in a way that I don't think you can, at least my experience has been, even if you intellectually understand it, it's like you find yourself in these repeat traumas and repeat patterns. Like, why did I do that again? I get it. It's because you haven't integrated your emotional experience to match that and to relate to
exactly.
Super. Well, I'm sure we could talk for
for hours and hours.
Do have another, I know that you're in the process of writing another book. Can you talk a little bit about your forthcoming book?
Yeah. So I'm in the process of writing it. I'm actually going to put it on hold for a little bit. The book is written. I'm going to hold on publishing a little bit, but probably start releasing more kind of snippets from the book on my personal and my business Facebook page. But that book is really, the working title right now is called Crazy Making. And it's really what I believe and what I have come to see in the research that I have done and the clients that I have worked with, what are the true causes of mental illness? Where does this really come from? And it sort of walks through the history of mental illness and how our mental health industry was created, what it really stems from, what the foundation of it is, and then walks through all the different aspects of what I believe mental illness to be really comprised of, kind of starting with the physical and moving through the mental, the emotional, the physical, and then really moving into that spiritual side of it. And what is the spiritual component here? What are the spiritual lessons? What are the spiritual, what does this mean? Because, and that's something, you know, we haven't totally talked on today, but that spiritual component, that side of it, I think that people who are dealing with things like this, depression, bipolar, anxiety, PTSD, there are huge spiritual openings here. And part of for me, and I'll speak to bipolar specifically, what I believe happens is there's this push-pull between being a really high vibration spiritual being who is like wanting all of this, all these things to create and go out into the world, and then sort of being like sucked back in to some of like the lower energies of life, right? And what that means. So it's this constant like this. And that's, you know, kind of for me, like where some of that bipolar energy comes from.
Yeah. And I mean, in many other cultures, I talk about what I call the shamanic view of mental illness, which is a different approach and a very different understanding that often mental illness is a spiritual awakening. It's a being aware of different dimensions in different realms of reality than are commonly recognized, for example. So that's a whole nother conversation that we could get into. I'm super excited about that book as well as your book, This Is Me, Bipolar Free. I know that some of my listeners are going to be interested in checking out that book. So where and how can they get a copy of This Is Me, Bipolar Free?
Yep. So the easiest way is to go to my website. It's just katelabrosse.com. And right on the website, you can download a free copy of the book. If there are readers out there that prefer to not have an electronic version, I can always send them a paperback copy. I'd be happy to do that. If they want to just shoot me a private message on Facebook, on Messenger, I'd be happy to mail them a paperback copy of the book as well.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. And then they can follow you on social media.
Yep. So there, I have my personal page, which is just Kate LaBrosse. And then I also have my business page, which I share more around the book and some of these tips and tricks and things that I have. Mm-hmm. That's just Kate LaBrosse, Holistic Health Consultant.
Awesome. So there's Kate's free book. If you're interested in my work, my book, Finding Your Unhappy, you can get a copy also at findingyourunhappybook.com. And cover some of the stuff that we talked about here today as well. And I will be here every week again at 8 a.m. Eastern time, or sorry, Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to be continuing to have these kinds of conversations where we're looking at what are the underlying contributing factors to mental health, to finding your own happy, and looking at things from, as Kate and I were just talking about, like what's the broader context for mental illness and mental health. And I would love to, when your new book is coming out, talk to you a little bit more about some of the findings that are going to be revealed in that book, because really there's such a broader perspective than is often talked about with the mental health. And it is truly possible to heal, to transform your experiences with depression, with even things like bipolar, to lead a happy, fulfilling, and satisfying life. So thank you for joining us. Thank you so much, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Alana. Thank you.
I'm sure we could talk for hours. So
we'll talk again.
Okay. Yeah. Take care and bye for now.
All right. Mm-hmm.